Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Well, praise Jesus. Come on, we we're here today, and he's going to bless you, going to touch you. Somebody's going to get a miracle right here today. I know it. So we're going to jump through. We're going to go through a nice little story in the Old Testament. It was about a fellow named Naaman, and we're going to talk about him today. And we're going to talk about how to break through to a miracle. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, we're doing it right now. Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, it says, "Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Now, this was Jesus' first time ministering. He came out of the wilderness, and he announced that, "I'm anointed with the Holy Spirit." He said, "I am anointed. I got the power of God to preach good news." And so he's sharing that, and he's sharing in his home church. And so in his home church, he pulls out a scroll, and he literally tells them that this prophecy that in Isaiah, where it talks about the Messiah, it's fulfilled today in your hearing. And literally, he's telling folks in his home church, "I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. It's fulfilled within your hearing." How many think that would be pretty crazy stuff? One of us jumped up and said, "I am the Son of God. I am." And it's somebody you knew. You saw him grew up. I mean, you went down to a shop and he fixed a couple of yokes for your, you know, your camels or your horses or whatever, put a couple new cupboards in your house. And suddenly this guy who was pretty good at putting cupboards in, but I don't know that qualifies for like Son of God status, like yikes. But he's announcing, "I am the Son of God." And you see, they all began to go, "Pretty amazing teaching, but you're a little out there, son. I mean, you're Joseph's kid. We know you. We all grew up with you. I mean, you're losing it." And then he looked at them and he said, you know, he says, "There were all kinds of lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha, and only one person was healed, and that was Naaman." And he's literally saying to them that, you know, this Gentile, he came and he laid a hold of the power of God. There were all kinds of lepers in that day, but only one person, Naaman, this leper who was a Gentile, not even one of the children of God, he came and he broke through to a miracle. Now, I think the Holy Spirit's throwing it in there for a reason, and Jesus is trying to tell us something. That, you know, there was miracles there to be had, but only one guy really broke through. So I want to, just inspired by the Holy Ghost, find out, what is it about Naaman? Why is this story plugged in the scripture? What does the Lord want to teach us today about breaking through to our miracle? Who needs a miracle today? If you don't need a miracle, you got to get a life. How many know somebody who needs Jesus? How many know somebody who you know is not well or is experiencing sickness? How many know people walking through broken relationships, hopelessness, despair, fighting through addiction, fighting through difficulty? How many know a situation like that? Then you need a miracle. And you're like, "Man, I'm ever glad I came today, because I am going to lay hold of this, because I am breaking through to a miracle." All right, let's go. Open your Bibles. Got to open your Bibles, grab your Bible, your PDA, your iPhone, your whatever it is. I don't even know. Do you say PDA anymore? I don't even know. Personal Development Association, Personal Documentation Assistant. Anyways, you know what I mean. Hey, your iPad, your whatever, your thingamajigger. Just that thing that you read the Bible with. Or the Bible. How many folks still use the old-fashioned version? Wow, some people still do. That's good. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, I want you to follow along. I want you to get in the story. I want you to get into this. The Holy Spirit wrote all of these words down to teach us stuff. So let's get in here and take a look at it. You ready? I love this first word. The first word is now. Now. Say now. I love the word now in the Bible. Now, Naaman, now. It's now. It's a now time. It's a now season. It's time for you to lay hold of what God wants for you and what he's promised. Now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Syria. So here's a guy, Naaman. He's a general. He's the head honcho of the Syrian army. Now, these were not friends of Israel. This guy was actually the general of a Syrian army, and these people were enemies of Israel. But he was, listen what the word says. The word says he was great and an honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. God had used him, and he was the reason that Syria had achieved victory. So this is a pretty significant guy in the eyes of his master. And the Lord, he was a chosen vessel in the hand of the Lord to cause Syria to experience blessing. So he was also a mighty man of valor. Now look at the word but. Say but. But he was, here's a guy who was blessed by God. Here's a guy who was loved by his master. Here's a guy who had victory after victory, probably lived in a really great home. Had a fantastic life, was a man of might and a man of valor. But now how many know there's a lot of buts in life? There's a but. How many of you people know somebody and there's a but in their life? I don't mean that kind of butt. There's some people do have a butt. He's such a butt. You know, I'd be doing good some people have friends, their life is tracking well. You got family, their life is tracking well. And everything is good. The family's good. We're blessed. We're doing well. But nothing matters to me right now because cancer has begun to afflict my home. Nothing matters to me right now because my child is going through a situation. I've just learned my child has some form of disability or some attack in their life. Or my husband's just walked out on me. Everything was going real good, but, or I just lost a loved one. There's so many buts in life that everything could be going well, and then there's a big but. I want you to know there's a breakthrough from every but. Want you to know that he can set you free. But he was a leper. And you have to understand, here's a noble guy, and leprosy is a terrible disease because when you contract leprosy, you can hide that for a little while, and you may want to, because when everybody finds out you've got leprosy, that means you are going to be literally removed from everything you have. You cannot live with the people you love. You cannot operate in the circles you operated in. You literally are basically going to be taken outside, thrown, and live under a bridge someplace. Now, here's a guy who was used by God, who in every way he's honorable. In every way, my life is good. Life is good, but this leprosy thing has just crept in. I got a serious issue. And you know what? There's people all around you today that have leprosy that has crept into their situation, and their whole future is in total jeopardy. And here's another thing. Take this another thing. Leprosy represents a type of sin in the Bible as well. And every single one of us, it says the wages of sin is death. And if we don't deal with this whole aspect that was transferred to every one of us through the loins of Adam, every single one of us, it says, are by nature, objects of wrath. If we don't deal with this sin issue, just like the leprosy issue, we will lose every single thing that we have. And there has to somehow, this situation has to be dealt with. But we can say, thank God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Because it says his blood, his what he did for me, what Jesus did on the cross, dealt with my leprosy, dealt with my sin issue, and has restored me not just to a life, but the very best life in God. So every person you run into who doesn't know Jesus, quite honestly, you could be looking, they're doing pretty good. Don't look like they need nothing. They look fine. If they don't know Jesus, they got a serious, serious issue. And the time is ticking on them right now. We got to know that there's people around who need a miracle. There's people who need a breakthrough. So he was a leper. His future is in jeopardy. Soon he's going to be separated from everything he has. He's hopeless, and his whole life, that amazing life, is going to come to a hopeless, desperate end. Verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captives. They brought back this slave girl. They brought a girl back from Israel and turned her into a slave from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So Naaman had a slave girl. One of the raiding parties went out and captured some people from Israel. And so here's this slave girl comes into this house and she's serving Naaman's wife. How many know that sounds like a pretty messy life in itself? How many think, being trapped and taken away from your home, your family and everything, and going to another country and put into slavery? How many think that's a pretty miserable life? But listen to this. Listen, this girl came into this home and for whatever reason, she enjoyed this family. She respected who she was living with and working with, and she actually felt and had compassion on them, so much so that this girl, look what it says, verse 2, it says, this captive girl from the land of Israel waited on Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, if only my master would die, if only a fireball from heaven could come and strike you all dead so I could go home. How many are following along with me? It doesn't say that, does it? mean, here's a slave girl who says, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. How many think that is an amazing declaration of faith? I mean, I think this little girl is actually the hero in the whole story. You know what I mean? How many people had somebody in your life that came up to you and said, I know a God who loves you and he can turn your whole world around, and that condition that you find yourself, he can touch you and he can free you and he can cure you. There's a cure for your disease. I mean, she said, even though she's in a place that could have been captivity and everything, she loves these people. And she says, you know what? If only my master would go to Israel to the prophet, he can be healed. Everybody that you're around, every person you run into, no matter what the situation or how hopeless it looks like, I'm telling you, he or she can be cured. Folks watching by video, just shout a little louder because in the house. Oh, there's one. I see one now. Right. Look at this. It says, come on, if only he would go. Now listen, verse 4, and Naaman went, and Naaman went, and Naaman went in, and he went into the king of Syria, and he said, thus and thus. That's what it says right there. I'm not making that up. He said, thus and thus. How many have heard somebody come in and say, thus and thus? What he's saying is he told her all about what the girl had said. He said, thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, whoa, that's awesome. Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, which is just under 1,000 pounds. Right there, I got in my notes, they're going to say, wow. Wow. 1,000 pounds of silver and 7,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. I mean, altogether, if you put it in our dollars today, he went down the road with $4 million to go looking for his healing. Can I get an amen? So there's the principle right there. If you want to get a breakthrough, put together $4 million and you can guarantee your breakthrough today. Ushers, bring the buckets, please. Better follow along. But that's what he did. I mean, he went with this big massive gift. Then he brought it with the letter from the king of Syria to Israel. And he said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, here's the king of Syria to the king of Israel. Listen, these are enemies, all right? This is the king of Syria to the king of Israel. I love this. Now, he says, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I've sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that he may be healed of his leprosy. Hello, think of that. I mean, how straight up is that? These people have incredible faith in the God of Israel. These people heard a little slave girl tell them there's a prophet in Israel, and if you go down there and see him, you will be healed. They packed up the truck, loaded it all up, all the king's horses, all the king's men, a huge caravan of people going down the road to Israel, and they get to Israel, and he's got a letter. If you don't mind, I know we're enemies, but I've sent my commander to you, the one who I've won great victories through, and if you don't mind, now please. And the king of Israel is like, this is awesome. They're all recognizing finally that our God is the great God. Woo-hoo! Oh, thank you. What a great victory. Even our enemies are coming now and bowing down to you. Oh, God, you're wonderful. How many are reading along with me? Doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? All right, look with me. Come on, look with me. Verse 7. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. I mean, we're talking, you know, something. There's believers who, people come to you with needs. They come to you with problems. They come to you with difficulties. They come to you, and they have heard that your God does incredible things. And they come to you, and when they come, you take a fit and go, what am I? Can I make something happen? I can't believe you did this. Rip your garbage. No, we should love it when people come to us and put a demand on our God. We should love it when we get opportunities to demonstrate the goodness of God. We should love it when there's a problem, because our God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. When there's a place of trouble, how many know you want to find God? You want to find God? You want to find the ever-present God? Go where the trouble is. Get your face in the midst of trouble. Find trouble. Go chase after trouble, just like Julie did. She went running down the road after somebody in trouble, because she said, if I can find somebody in trouble, my God is an ever-present God in a place of trouble, and he will manifest himself powerfully. But here's somebody coming to their God. I mean, they're literally denying their gods, and they're running down the road bringing a massive offering to the God of Israel. Heal my commander, if you don't mind. And the guy who should be, he was anointed king, should have a relationship with God, tears his robes and says, yeah, you're trying to pick a fight with me. I can't do anything for you. My God's not powerful. Why are you bothering me? How many are tracking with me just a little bit? Can you turn it up just a little? Turn up, just go over here. Just turn up your volume just a little bit, all right? All right, if you turn up your volume, it goes quicker. All right, come on. So what happened? We read that he tears his robes. He says, "Am I God to kill and make alive? And this man sends him to me to heal him of his leprosy. Oh, therefore, please consider, he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why did you tear your clothes? What are you doing? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? You see anybody whining, tearing their clothes, saying God's no good, you say, stop it. Send them over here. I'll take care of this. They need to know that there is a God. He is alive. He's still alive today, healing, setting free, and breaking yokes. I want to introduce you to a God who is wonderful and powerful, and he's still doing breakthroughs. Man, I drove all this way through the snow. We might as well have some fun, huh? My God, this is true. This is the real stuff. I'm telling you, this is it right here. It's good stuff. All right. So Elisha brings, he comes down to Elisha, and verse 9, then Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha and says, now come on, you got to get into this. I mean, here's Elisha living down on 4th Street. And now suddenly, I mean, just to trying to get the caravan, packing through the thousands of pounds of gold and silver and raiments, they're all coming. Imagine, you know, on your street, suddenly, you know, this commander, I mean, they're coming down, and it's all these big, you know, stretch SUVs with flags from another country, and they're all pulling down your street, and there's, you know, armored cars and it looks like a big SWAT team behind it, and they're knocking on your door. I mean, this is really happening. I mean, Elisha is having a commander of another great army is out in front of his house with this huge entourage, and I've come to be healed of my leprosy. This is powerful stuff. So Naaman, big, mighty man. I mean, everybody bows down to him in the nation he comes from. He's very well respected. So he comes in the front of Elisha's house. All these chariots, they're all there, and they're standing at the house. And Elisha sent a messenger out to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, you, and you shall be clean. That's what he said. Wasn't Elisha. Elisha was having a hot bath and just chilling in the back. Yeah, that Naaman guy's out front. Just tell him to go wash in the Jordan dippy 7 times and it'll all be good. He shuts the door, goes back inside, and Naaman's like, hello. Like, I do some worship stuff with our gods back there. We get into some crazy ceremonies, some howling and animal sacrifices, all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, I didn't even see the guy. He didn't even come. He didn't even peep out the window, look through a crack, nothing. He sends out this servant dude and tells me wash in a muddy river. So Naaman is like, woohoo, I'm healed. No, look what it says. Naaman says, Elisha sends out the messenger, but Naaman became furious and he went away and he said, indeed, I say to myself, he will surely come out to me. I mean, I expected, I was rehearsing this in my mind, that when my chariots and my big SUVs and my whole SWAT team and these big armored vehicles full of thousands of pounds of precious metals, I mean, when he sees me coming down the road, he's going to be out front with a mariachi band going, welcome to my place, welcome to my place. I mean, I pictured this thing going down a whole different way. I mean, come on. I mean, are you kidding me? I came all this way. I get sent over to this dude's place. He's the prophet I'm looking for. He can cure me. And that's it. He's livid. He's livid. He's just like furious. He said, I was expecting. I thought he'd come out and wave his hand over. I got some spots. Can you take a look? He'd come and go, woo. You know, we want some of that, don't we? Like, sometimes we expect, if God's going to come, oh, it's going to be, ooh, I'm expecting, ooh, I pictured it's going to be like, ah, ooh. I mean, what if God came and said, you know, stand on your head, clap your feet? Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. You know, sometimes God comes in a different way, doesn't he? And quite obviously, how God spoke to this guy offended him. And he was highly offended and said, this is ridiculous. I mean, I don't have servants pop out and talk to me. Does this dude know who I am? I mean, this is ridiculous stuff. So he's all upset. And he says, I was expecting something bigger. I was expecting, bam, my leprosy to be healed. That was what I was expecting. He'd pop out, woo, wah, bah, 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 go into some crazy trance, spin around five times, float off the air. Bah, bah, bah. Go wash in a dirty river. Oh, so he went away. He's angry. So he goes away, and there's, he says, are not the Abana and the Fafar the rivers of Damascus? Because Jordan is a muddy river. It's a messy river. And if you got leprosy, you don't want to jump in the mud. So he's like, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. And he went away, it says in verse 12, in a rage. And his servants came up and said, well, listen, my father, if you don't mind, just listen for a second. If the prophet would have come and done something great, would you not have done it? How much more then if he tells you just this simple thing, wash and be clean? I mean, who cares what he said? Who cares if you thought it should be more wow or whatever? Why not just do what he told you to do? Do what he told you to do. Do what he told you to do. It comes the way he says it does. Why don't you just submit to that? Wow. And you know, what if it's crazier than you thought? I mean, what if you thought it should come nice and quiet, weeping at the altar? Everybody, shh, everybody just as I am. Just as I am. Lots of tears, lots of... I mean, what if it comes all messy? People hanging off chandeliers, barking like dogs. Roar! And you're like, yeah, yeah, that can't be God. That's crazy. What if it comes a way that you don't get or you don't understand? And you say, I don't want that because that looks creepy. How many people miss God because they got their own little box of how it's going to happen? If you try to come any other way, God, I won't receive you. I know a lot of religious people that they come into a church where we talk about God is love and he really likes you and he's for you and he just wants to enjoy you. You come to a church where this Friday night they had a line dance. All the girls were like, they were singing to a song, Hillbilly is like it in the hay. I didn't even want to know the rest of the words of that song. I was like, I don't even know what that's all about. But they're all kicking up, woo! And you know, a few people gave their lives to Jesus in the middle of that. Who'd have thunk it? Like, I thought it should be like a lasers. And people genuinely got touched in a place where, very simply, God loves you. He's nuts about you. Isn't that awesome? We make it so creepy and weird sometimes, don't we? Huh? Okay, now let me get through this. I got to get through this. Come on, Pastor, get through this. Help me out. I got an 8-point sermon coming up. We're still in the text. Can I get an amen? We stay here long enough, the sun will come out, the snow will melt. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, all right. All right. Easy over there. Easy now. My father. He said, okay, so he goes down to the Jordan to dip 7 times, according to the saying of the man of God. Now he goes down to the Jordan, and I call this 7 muddy ducks. 7 muddy ducks. You get it? 7 muddy ducks. He goes down. Now think about it. Now he goes in, he's going in this muddy water. He's going, have you ever gone in a muddy, swampy thing where you step in and your foot just goes down? And And you take the knife, like, oh, this has probably got leeches in here. I got to be picking these suckers off me. Oh, my God. And the water flowing down is the city just up a little further. They put the sewage right in the stream. And this is unpleasant. There's a couple of O'Henry bars going by. I don't really get that, what that is. Anyways. I mean, you're just like 7 muddy ducks. I mean, he's ducking in this thing. You go, what? He does one. He dips down. He comes back up. And he's like, he goes, second, another dippy, and nothing. Then he's looking at the guys on the side, and they're kind of smirking and going, I can't believe our big noble commander's dipping in the muddy water. Can you believe it? And he's, shut up over there. Third muddy dip, you know, nothing. Fourth muddy dip. But he goes all the way. Because it wasn't 2 dips, 3 dips, 4 dips. I can say, I'll give that a try. I'll give that a week. I'm going to give God a try, dippy. Yeah, that didn't work out so good. Well, maybe I'll give him 2 dippy. Sometimes you got a really hard heart and you need more dippies than one. You know, but you know, he went all the way. He did all 7 dippies. Look at the text. Come on. Look at the text. Are you enjoying yourself yet? No, no. 7 dips. Here he is. He goes all 7 dips. So he dips down, dipping once, dipping twice, dipping 3 times. Look what it says, verse 14. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when God does something, he just doesn't take you back to where you think you should go, but he takes you all the way, gives you absolute restoration. I know a woman, her name is Barbara Parks, and when she was probably in her 40s, we were in a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. She had a heart that had been operated on, had a hole in it, messed up, and she'd only been given 6 years to live like 10 years ago, and there's times I'd be at their house, and she'd be sitting in her bed going, and I'm like, breathe. Oh my God, breathe. And my parents would leave me there for her to babysit us, you know? And I'm like, my God, I'm sitting with this lady. She could die any minute. I'm like, oh my God. And they go, we're going to leave you with Auntie Barbara again tonight. I'm like, no! I mean, I have these bad dreams. She's gonna kick the bucket right there. But you know, Auntie Barbara and Catherine Coleman was given a brand new heart. Auntie Barbara is now 85 years old, living in Wales, and she's as strong as ever. She just came back for a visit a few months back, and she's traveling all over Canada visiting her friends. And I see her and I go, you look really great, Auntie Barbara, but honestly, your heart's only, you got the heart of a 40-year-old, because it's like, because God, when he restores, he makes all things new. He makes all things new. When God does things, I tell you, he's not going to give you, I'm 40 years old. Give me the skin of a 40-year-old. No, he's going to give you a brand spanking new, beautiful, glorious flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many like a miracle like that right now? Well, we're going to find a dirty river and get you plugged in. Amen. Seven muddy ducks. All right, plunge right through. He said, look at how he says, he dips down there. He gets totally restored. Verse 15, and he returned to the man of God. Say, he returned. He returned to the man of God and all his aides. They all came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take this gift from your servant. But the man of God said, as sure as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I'm standing in front of Almighty God right now. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not taking anything. I'm not taking anything from you. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. You see, you will never have to pay a price for what God did for you. It will never be earned by you. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you have to add to it or do. You don't have to take a catechism class, 45 courses, 300 ways to the 17,000 things. You literally just have to come and believe and do what he said to do. And if you do that, it costs you nothing because it already cost him everything so that he can give you everything and so that he can enjoy the fact that you've got every blessing because of faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? A lot of people still trying to earn favor with God. I got to keep trying. I want to make sure God likes me. I got to make sure every day that I'm good, you know? I mean, they think God's like Santa Claus. He's got two lists, you know, the naughty and the nice. No, he's only got one list. You come to him, you accept him. It's all nice, every single bit of it, and it'll never change, and nothing can take you out of his hand. I don't care how bad you think you've screwed up. He is committed to love you and only see you through the finished work of the cross forever. And this redemption cost you nothing. Isn't that good? And it's the same for every single person. That's why some people don't like it. Because some people are smarty pants and some people, you know, think they're all that. And they figure that, well, if God's going to redeem me, it's got to be more powerful than that, Pastor. No, it can't, because God will never redeem you because you're too proud and full of yourself and self-righteous. The only one thing God will resist is proud people. And he made it simple. He made it easy. God died for you, and the only way you can have a relationship with him is accepting that God himself died for you, what's wrong in you, so he could make everything right in you, so that you and he could be in a relationship forever, and you could never, ever be taken out of his hands, because he determined it, he did it, he finished it, and nothing will ever change it, and it's all on him, and nothing on you. You've just got to believe it. It is a good deal. That's why the prophet said, I stand before Almighty God and I can take nothing. Because this is a type of redemption. It's a type of healing. It's a type of restoration. And if you think you've got to earn anything to stand in the very face and presence of God, you are in filthy, dirty, rotten religion. And there's lots of it still happens in the kingdom of God. Well, that's all about getting in, Pastor. But once you get in, you got to be good, do stuff, and you got to check off your list. You know what? I check off lots of lists, not because I have to earn his favor, but because I've got his favor, it makes me want to be his favorite son. But not to earn it, just to walk in it because it's mine. All right, I got to move on. Can you say move on, Pastor? And he returned to the man of God and he said, I'll receive nothing. He urged him to take it, but Naaman said, then listen to this now. I love this. Then if you won't, please let me have 2 mule loads of earth. Listen to that. Listen, if I can't give you anything or bless you with anything, then please let me have 2 truckloads of dirt. Please let me take two truckloads of dirt from your backyard because why am I going to go back to my country? See, in their mindset, the God of a region was in that region. The God of a region, he belonged to that region. So in his mindset, he's saying, I'm taking two truckloads of dirt from right here because I'm taking this God with me wherever I go. From now on, this God, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to be in his presence forever. Every single day, I'm going to have in my pocket, I'm going to take a handful of soil everywhere I go. Even when I go with my king into his temple, when he bows down to pray, I'm going to throw a pile of dirt, put my mat on top of it, no matter where I am, my life is going to glorify the God of Israel. I'm going to serve him. Give me two truckloads of dirt to take so I can serve him every day of my life. Man, I can't believe I'm going this hard for on a snow day. Should have just had communion and sent you home. You know, I mean, because you guys are like, Pastor, don't keep us long. Lots of snow out there. We don't need this. Somebody needs it. Somebody on the camera needs it. Somebody you know needs it. Somebody you're going to run into this afternoon needs it. Somebody you're going to run into this week needs to know that there's a God who loves you and he will deliver you and it'll cost you nothing. Just believe me, he'll totally deliver you. Man, I'm going hard. I'm going hard, Caleb. Praise Jesus, I tell you. Hallelujah. All right, I got to move on to my notes, right? Two mules load of dirt. Let me take it with me. He says, pardon your servant. He said, when I go into the temple of Ramon to worship there and lean on my master's hand, when I bow down, I will bow down in that temple, but I will bow down on a portion of the God Almighty of heaven. And here's what the man of God said. He said, how dare you go back into the world? How dare you go back into your life? How dare you go back and serve that master? How dare you go back and be involved in any of that? Separate yourself from all your friends, your family, and everything you've known. Change your jobs. Leave everything. Come out of all that stuff. Come away. Come away. Though the man of God said, go in peace. He gave him the priestly benediction. Go back to your job. Go back to your family. Go back to your friends. Go back to where you are and take these two big bucket loads of dirt. And wherever you are, take the glory of God. Take the presence of God. Take the power of God and bring the kingdom of God into manifestation everywhere you are. Go in peace. All right, real fast. You ready? I've already given you eight of them, so we can go through them really fast. You ready? Here they are, eight things. I wasn't kidding. You thought I was kidding, Kevin? Kevin, you got to change your mind, buddy. You thought if I shout loud enough, Pastor will shut up. You know I can't. I would have sermon retention. I could have said, you know what? I'm going to put this one back in my Bible. I'm going to preach it next week when we got a bigger crowd. I'm going to tuck it away and just give you guys a little verse and a ha-ha and send you on your way. How many think if you drove this far, shoveled your laneway, that you want God's best? I don't want some pastor. I mean, I did everything I could to get to church, and my pastor just mailed one in, sent us home, and said, I'll tuck that one aside and do it next week. You know what? God gave me this for today. That means who's ever here today, somebody needs to hear what the Lord laid on my heart. Snowstorm or no snowstorm, somebody needed to hear about the goodness of God. Number one, your breakthrough observations. You ready? Number one, it begins with hope. Here's a guy who had hope, and I know he had hope. And you know, for there to be faith, there's got to be hope, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here's a guy who had a very successful life, who had a family he loved, and he must have been a good guy, because even the slaves that were living in his home loved him and wanted to see him move ahead. This guy was a guy, and he had hope. He said, I don't want this to be the end of my life. I don't want this to be it. I don't want to have done all that I did in my life, and now this spotty thing is going to take over my body and separate me from everything I love. I'm hoping that there's something going to invade my life. And there's people out there all over the world today, all over your neighborhood, all up and down your street, that cannot wait until they get this door knocker, because they're hoping that there's somebody with a better message than what they've been hearing. It all begins with hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Number two, faith has to be released. There's hope, but there's got to be faith. That hope has to lead to faith. He's hoping, but listen, now he's got a young girl in his home, and she knows, she can see the pain that's creeping into the home. She can see this master that she has come to love, and she says, if only my master, if he would go to Israel, there's a prophet, there's power in the house of God, and he will be healed. Somebody's got to release faith. For these people to have their hope engaged in something powerful, somebody has to release faith. Somebody got to take a door knocker. Somebody got to believe that I'm anointing these door knockers, Lord. I pray that not one of them gets thrown in the trash, but every one of them gets read by somebody who knows that they need a breakthrough and that God, who is good, sent them a miracle at Christmas to break them into God's goodness. So we're going to go door to door, and we're going to pray that every one of these get in the hand of somebody who needs to be touched. How many know there's people out there, they're hoping for something, and you need to release your faith so that God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everyone who comes in must believe that he is. He believed. Naaman was going to Israel believing. He was going, there's a cure. My little slave girl told me there's a cure. My master sent me to Israel. Send me with a gift to the king. Send me, because there's a cure for what's messing up my life. Settle down. I know it's exciting. Number three. Action is required. Action is required. It says, and Naaman went. And he went. Action is required. It says, through him who received grace and apostleship to call the Gentiles to obedience that comes from faith. There's action's got to be required. Action's got to be required. Number four. You must persevere. Now tell me, when he got there to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel doesn't have any revelation on this. I mean, I got a servant girl from this kingdom who tells me that in their nation, people are cured from this disease. So I come to the king, because surely if this is going on in Israel, he should know about it. So he comes down to the king. Hey, where do you get cured of leprosy? I heard that your God cures and sets people free. So where do you get that done? And then you come down. I mean, that's like people hearing that God is good, going to a church, and then told by the people at the church, yeah, he's not that good. I came here because I got problems. I heard he's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Yeah, not always. Sometimes he adds to the trouble. Yeah. Sometimes you come to God and it gets worse. But oh, glory to God, I love the pain. Hallelujah. Imagine going to the people of God and finding out that they don't even know that little slave girl. She told me that these people got a God who's really good. And then you go talk to the king and you're trying to pick a fight with me. Come on, folks. How good is your God? Well, I tried that. I've had a few failures. I've had a few things didn't happen. I'm not going to do that anymore. Give up on your failures. That was then. Don't even worry about it. You know what? Don't rationalize it. Don't even explain it. Don't even try to figure it out. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, here's something that never changes. God. I am God and I change not. And I tell you, he's always good and he is worth you always representing that God is good. I don't know why it might not have worked out or this might not have happened, but I'll tell you this, you know what? God is good. You'll figure that out someday. Maybe you'll find out something better was involved that you didn't know about, but I'll tell you what, my God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he needs us to give him a good report. But sometimes you got to persevere because you find the people of God ain't that excited. And you got to persevere on your own. Sometimes you got to, I'm believing for a breakthrough. Oh yeah, don't believe for that. I believe for a breakthrough once it didn't work. So don't do that. Oh, it'll just cause you pain and trouble. You know what? You got to persevere. You got to persevere. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. Did you hear about it? I heard of the perseverance of Job. And it says that we have seen the intended end. The end that was intended by God. You know what? It might look messy, but go to the end of the story. You know, the end is not yet. Because in the end, it says that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And that the end is always going to be good. So don't judge it right now where you're at. Always trust that God is going to work all things together for good. All right, number five, this is very important, demands humility. See, I thought he would do this. I mean, I expected he would do that. I expected this, I expected that. A lot of people are offended by the cross. A lot of people are offended by Christianity. I mean, how stupid is that? You go to some place believing a God who died for you? I mean, that's just dumb. I just can't get into that. I'd rather find a religion that has 25 rules that I've got to obey every day. You know, I got to pound my head or pray 45 times a day or do this. You got a religion where you just trust Jesus? That's it? I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, what kind of God does everything for you? I mean, that's just too easy. That's so easy, it's offensive. I don't like that. I don't like that cross thing. I think I'd rather trust in my own ability to be good than believe that him dying for me did it. You know, the cross is offensive to people, but God did that on purpose because God wants you to know that's only through him and not through any of your works. It's all about him, right? Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble man, his spirit will retain honor. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, broken people you can help, but proud people, I don't need your God, you will. And whether you accept him or not, I'm telling you, there is a day where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you can do it now, or you will do it later. But you can do it now. And it's good. Number six, we're coming to a rapid conclusion. Can I get an amen? Gratitude brings about wholeness. You see, he came back. It says he returned. Luke 17 talks about the lepers. You know, not all of them came back, just one. One came back and thanked him. And see, the one who came back and thanked him, Jesus said to him, he says, wow, there was 10 healed and only one came back. He said, listen, your faith has healed you. Or literally that word says, your faith has made you whole. See, the others went back and they might have been cleansed. They got no more leprosy, but maybe they're still missing five fingers. Maybe they got no more leprosy. The disease has ended, but they, you know, still lost an eye. You know, but you see, the one who came back and said, thank you, it says, your faith has made you whole. And you know, gratitude will take you to a new level in that miracle when you give thanks to God. Number seven. It's all about grace. It's all grace. It is all God. See, he said, I want to thank you. I want to give you a gift. I want to give you an offering. See, if he let him give him an offering, he might have gone back and said, man, I paid $4 million for my healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this. I got a $4 million healing. Glory to Jesus. No, you see, I'm not taking anything because you know what? You just got to come to me, for by grace you have been made whole. For by grace you receive the miracle. For by grace you get the breakthrough. And it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. And number eight, a life-changing encounter. When you really have this kind of an encounter, it'll change your life forever. I was so honored to be here and hear Tania's testimony and Kristen's testimony. And there's people who didn't just get a touch, you know what? But they said, back up the truck, give me two truckloads of dirt, because this is going to be carried in my pocket. I'm going to carry his presence everywhere I go. I want the soil of the heavenly realm. I want the life of God to saturate everything I have. I mean, back up the truck, because this isn't just an event that I'm going to ignore. This is going to change my life forever. Three more amens, we can move on. Got some people looking around. What's going on? What's happening? You know what's happening? God's happening right now. You know what's happening? God's moving right now. You know what's happening? We've stepped in a new realm of his power and of his grace. We've stepped in a new dispensation of God pouring out his favors like never before. And that's the time we're in right now. We're in a time of breakthroughs for miracles. We're in a time where we should all hang out with Julie for a while and teach you how to chase after people and drag them into the kingdom. This lady chased me down. I'm like, my God, what the heck? I mean, how do you think Tania feels? Did some lady, I don't even know, chase me down the street? Then random, she gets a random call by accident. And do you need help? Yes, I do. And then a life is totally changed. You know, the whole hero in the story was the servant girl. None of this would have happened if that servant girl didn't say, you need to go because there's a cure for you. Amen? Is that right, Tania? I mean, that's what Julie did. She chased you down and said, you know what? I believe you got problems. And you know what? There's a cure for you. There's a cure for you. I ain't putting any door knockers on, Pastor. I ain't walking up to people's houses putting a door knocker up. I'm not asking you to knock on the door and talk to them. I just want you to put a door knocker up. 50 door knockers. You need 100? 100 each? You got 6 floors. It's awesome. You know, folks, there's a cure. There's a cure for leprosy. There's a cure. There's a cure for the problems that are going on in life. There's a cure. There really is. And folks, we've got it. And if every one of us would just be like that little girl and say, if only my master would go. Huh? Huh? There's a lot of churches saying, oh, yeah, no cures. That was a long time back. We don't do that anymore. We do it. We still do it. We still believe it. There's a lot of people with mindsets that they can't even embrace it or take it in. But we're going to see that shift because they're going to see it so much that healing is going to become common. Amen. Now settle down. I can't handle your excitement. Honest to God, the people on the camera are just like, they're spinning dance around their coffee tables. Well, that's because they didn't have to shovel their way out this morning. Praise Jesus. But come on, stand up with me. Bless you, Lord. Come on, put up your hands in the air. Lift them up really high in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I pray for a breakthrough right here today. You know, nothing else needs to be said for there to be a miracle in the house today. right now. If there's anyone in this place that needs a breakthrough, they need deliverance from a brokenness, a deliverance from broken relationship, deliverance from helplessness. They need deliverance from an addiction. They need just deliverance from sin. Just need to experience the goodness of God. All you got to do right now is say yes. I mean, here's Naaman had to go dip 7 times in Jordan. But you know what? All you got to do is say, I believe in what Jesus did for me. I accept what he did at the cross. That's all you have to do. You don't have to dip in the Jordan. You don't have to do anything except say, I believe in Jesus. And I believe what he did. You know, you've been along in the Lord for a long, long time, and you need a miracle today. You need a breakthrough today. And you got yourself on a treadmill of trying to work out your stuff now, trying to make it happen and all those things. Don't you know God's already gone before and he's worked it all out? Don't you know it's time to enter into the rest of God and just trust him? And you've been along in the Lord for a long time, but you're on this treadmill of performance and you're offended by the simplicity of what I said today. Well, then you're full of pride. But I tell you, God's made sure that it's all about him and that it's all grace. And if you've been trying to do things outside of the realm of grace, you're building something that is not his, and it'll never last when the storm comes. But you know, when you build on the rock and you trust him and you lay everything on him, you push all your chips in the middle and say, I'm betting on Jesus. And you know, you'll get your breakthrough. There's healings for you here today. I don't even know who we've got here for our prayer teams. I don't know if we got anybody from our prayer teams. We got anybody from our prayer teams here? Come on up the front. Come on up here. I'm going to pray. I want you to be ready to go here. There's people need prayer today. There's people need ministry today. You might need a miracle today. I'm telling you, you'll say, this is it. This is my miracle. This is it. Well, shouldn't it be more fascinating? Shouldn't it be this or that? Or shouldn't lightning go through the sky? This is it. This is it right now. You might have a disease, some kind of an affliction or something. You might have a hopeless situation. This is it. Because it's all finished in Jesus Christ. Nothing else needs to be done. I don't need to sing a funny way, do a funny thing. I don't need to wave or open a portal somewhere. It's already been open because the heavens are open in Jesus. Your miracle is right now. It says now, Naaman. Now, whatever your name is. Now. Now. Now listen, just one more thing. Everybody's eyes are closed, your heads are bowed. Your heads are bowed. Your heads are closed, your eyes are bowed. But look, you're not looking around, and you know, just put all your hands down for a minute. Let me just talk to you really quickly. If you don't know Jesus, you know you don't know him as your personal Savior, or you're just not even sure, and you want to. You want to have that encounter with him that you know him. You want to walk out of here with 2 truckloads of dirt, and you want to have his presence with you every day. If that's you, I want to pray with you right now, and your life will never be the same. And all you've got to do is put up your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. And here, I'll make it very easy for you. I'm going to count to 3, and at the end of 3, put up your hand really high, because we're going to pray for you as we close. You ready? And that's you. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I'm leaving here with 2 truckloads of his presence. I want a relationship with God. If that's you, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Right now, just put up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. That was worth a trip in the snow right there.
Yeah, come on.
Wow. That was worth a trip in the snow. Everybody's going to pray, so you pray. You had your hands up, you pray too, okay? Listen, he loves you, and he just wants to simply, you're not joining the church, you're not signing up for Sunday after Sunday, you're just signing up for a relationship with God through his son Jesus. So you're all going to pray, and you join in, you pray after me. Say right now, Lord Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I accept what you did at the cross for me. And I thank you today that because of that, I am forgiven, I am healed, and I am free in Jesus' name. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my life. Holy Spirit, fill me now in Jesus' name. That was really awesome. Look at me. Look now. You know, some of you folks did that for the very first time, and I want to tell you something. You don't have leprosy anymore. You don't have spots. You don't have hopelessness. You don't have there's not a chance that you'd be taken out of the Master's hand. He loves you, and he's redeemed you. and you're a child of God, let me just tell you right now, past, present, future, forever, you are forgiven. You don't have a sin relationship with God. You have a son or a daughter relationship with the Almighty, and He is your God, and He loves you. And welcome to the family. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Now, these guys are here. I'm telling you. There's nothing else necessary for your miracle. It's all been done. And if you need prayer and there's a miracle you need, there's something you need, there's something trying to threaten your future, your life, or you feel in any way that the enemy's trying to steal from you, you come and get prayer at this altar today, because there's miracles in the house today. We didn't come through the snow for nothing. There are miracles for you today. And I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to know that your life will never be the same. So I'm going to close, going to speak a benediction over you, love you, and thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Even you folks out there in camera land, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day, making it precious. Now, Father, I ask that your love would just so be revealed to each and every one. I pray that each of us would have a working knowledge of the width, the width, the height, the breadth, the length, that love would just be so real to each and every one. I pray, Father, that Jesus, His grace, and all that He's done, the favor that's ours through the finished work of the cross, the revelation of it would be active in every life. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your continued partnership. Each and every moment, that you'll never, ever, ever leave me or forsake me. So thank you that you're there. And now may the peace of God, I mean the peace that is supernatural, the peace that you can't even explain, it's beyond understanding, may that peace wrap you, enable you, empower you, and thrust you into supernatural situations to demonstrate the kingdom of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.